The success of para-athletes at the Paralympics is helping to change perceptions of those with disabilities. But despite this, only 23% of those with a disability are participating in some form of sport. For people with a disability, there are a number of barriers that can prevent them from taking up a sport, including transport, cost, availability of facilities, and the competitive environment which can leave people feeling intimidated. Simon Darcy is an avid sports enthusiast and expert in social inclusion. He thinks there is a lot that can be done to engage people with a disability to be more physically active. Why reporter Jake Morecambe has more.
I think it's important early on just to understand that disability is not a homogenous construct. There are people with mobility disabilities, whether they're wheelchair users or use crutches or some other mobility aid. Those with vision impairment or who are blind, hearing impairment or who are deaf. Those with cognitive disabilities, those with learning disabilities. There's a whole gamut, and of those people, there's also differing levels of support needs. So for a lot of people with disability, they don't need extra supports to participate. But for those people that do, there's a compounding of barriers that just make things a lot harder. So if we take one that a lot of people will be familiar with, somebody like myself who uses a power chair, there are some transport issues because we can't use standard vehicles, require modified vehicles. Modified vehicles are a lot more expensive. Or if you're not able to use public transport, then you use paratransit, wheelchair accessible vehicles. And while there's a government subsidy of 50% up to $120, that's still a pretty expensive way to travel. And of course, in places like Sydney, it's a big geographic space. And disability sports aren't in all areas. They tend to be concentrated in certain areas. And there's in the recreation area, there's a concept called distance decay. Basically, the further you are away from a facility or activity, the less likely you are to use it. And again, equipment's expensive, depending on the sport you choose. Are you a cyclist?
No, I'm not. I'm terrible at it.
Depending on the style of cycling you're in, you know, your bike could be anything from 500 to 20,000. And similarly, depending on the sports with disability that you're in, you've got those costs. Plus, in the disability area, there seems to be a price gouging that goes on with specialist equipment. So it's that extra problem. And of course, if you are using the taxi transport subsidy scheme, which is a wonderful scheme in many ways, it's still an expensive way to travel. And if you're on a pension or your family's got a number of children, then it becomes very, very costly to participate on a regular basis if you have to travel for it.
So what is the alternative to that? Is there an alternative?
This is where, when we look at sport development pathways, if you're a person without a disability, you can pretty much join a local club, or there might be unorganised activities in your area. It's all pretty close. But for people with disabilities where those activities aren't close, then those barriers actually don't give them the benefits of being involved in sport. And one of the things we found, whether somebody's a grassroots participant just doing stuff for fun, the thing that's common from the grassroots to the elite level is the sense of belonging that's created. So you don't feel you're on your own. You're part of something bigger. There's all these other people that are going through the same stuff, particularly if it's age group or whatever. Sports and clubs become very family-like. And where you're not able to access that, that means that there's a really important part of life that other Australians are getting access to that you're not. So you're more isolated. You have feelings that isolation affects your mental well-being. And also you're not getting all the health benefits that are associated with sport as well.
In addressing these barriers, how do you kind of bridge this divide, or what is a tactic to democratise it, for lack of a better word?
Well, one of the things that a number of organisations have been successful at doing, from either the grassroots right through to the elite level, is to promote more inclusive practice. And that's by offering training programs that give coaches, volunteers, others involved in the sporting family an understanding of some really simple things to do to make their sport more inclusive across the spectrum of not just disability, but you can throw in Indigenous people from different ethnic backgrounds, so that that sport becomes more representative of those in the community of where they're living.
That was Professor Simon Darcy from the University of Technology Sydney's Business School, speaking to Wire reporter Jake Morecambe.